The following is a Castwave Studios production.
The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello, hello. Welcome to Boldly Going Nowhere. Tonight, E3, what's new? Spider-Man, Elder Scrolls, and Skyrim for Alexa. Yeah, that's going to be interesting, to say the least. And nice Key and Peele sketch there. Also, we have Bo that joins us from the Maryland House of Pain wrestling school. So, also Domino stacks toppings like pavement right here on Boldly Going Nowhere.
Well, hello, hello, and welcome to Boldly Going Nowhere. It's a podcast.
You listen to it.
With your ears.
With your ears. And Colin is still out and about, but
yep.
We always scrounge to pick up guests on this show when Colin's not here. We sneak him in the door and don't let Colin know. We have Brian's friend here, and I'll let you introduce him.
All right. Hey, Bo, go ahead and introduce yourself.
All right. My name is the boss, Bo Ross. Training up at Hagerstown's House of Pain, also known as the Neil Superior Professional Wrestling Training Center.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, good to be here.
Awesome. Good to have you here, man.
Thank you.
I happen to also be attending the same school, and I just managed to somehow not get my ass kicked quite so much.
Oh, don't worry. That day will come.
Yeah, we have Bo here today. We're actually going to be talking about E3. We're also going to be talking about a couple of different things as on the show, like on the show header we were just talking about. But first and foremost, I don't know, like, just out of the gate on E3, because I guess we could just get right into it. What's the thing that everybody's most excited about now that the event is pretty much over? I mean, it's kind of weird how it just kind of came and went like that. Like it was.
Yeah, it is a little weird. It kind of just hit. And then it was gone.
Yeah.
Like, there was no real hype leading into it. It just kind of was, we're here, and we're done.
Yeah. There wasn't any hype to it. I can't imagine there was any, like, advertising revenue being thrown towards E3 at this point, because right now it's just for the insiders. I think it's shut down to the public this year.
No, I think they were selling.
Or is it open to the public?
They were open to people going in and trying out stuff this year. That, like, you could buy an attendee pass this year.
What?
Right. They still wanted people to come in, but I think because they put a lot of focus on, there's already a lot of talk about certain games that have been trying to come out, trying to gain some steam and some speed. And that's kind of what they ended up focusing on, was all the rumors that everybody's accumulated over the last year or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the biggest thing that hurt it, I can kind of compare it to kind of the MCU. When it comes to, because I can guarantee you, you're going to go into San Diego Comic-Con and you're going to see the same problem, at least with Marvel and DC, is that they've already announced everything that's coming out this year, for the most part.
Right.
Like, Sony's already announced, Microsoft's already announced, Nintendo certainly, because we already know that we're getting Smash Brothers, we already know that we're getting, you know, all this stuff coming out this year. So it was really them either doubling down on stuff or them coming out with, like, oh, by the way, there's, like, hey, look, a new Super Mario Party game. Or, hey, look, here's some footage of...
It was weird because Pokemon Go, when it launched, had mass popularity, and then it died off, and then they started doing things the right way with the newer generations being released in a very timely manner. And then I was actually watching a video, I think it was either this morning or last night, I can't really remember, and they touched base that they want to try and now market this to the younger audience that doesn't have smartphones, that doesn't have properly working tablets that can actually play the game.
Right.
And they want to try and open it up a bit more.
And I mean, when you look at, like, okay, let's go ahead and talk about Pokemon for a second. There's a lot to talk about with let's go Pikachu and let's go Eevee. I can agree with you on that. And I can absolutely see where they're trying to maybe get to people who hey, you're not ready for a smartphone yet. You're not ready for a tablet yet. You're not ready for any of that. And for them to make it like Pokemon Go, but for a console, is actually kind of smart.
Oh, it's very smart.
And how they're like making it so that you can transfer stuff to and from your phone, that's genius.
Well, that's technology we didn't have back when these games first launched.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to age myself here a little bit with revealing this, but I can still remember when, you know, the Red, Blue, and Yellow launched, and all you had was a regular brick Game Boy.
Yep.
And yeah, at ages...
You're in good company, because we all remember those.
At ages 7, 8, 9, 10, that's what you had back then. There was no cell phone, and the cell phones that did exist, you didn't want.
Nope.
Trust me.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I'll be honest with you, and I'm going to date myself a little more here. I can remember being on the playground, fourth grade, you know, trading games with a link cable.
Yeah.
Remember the link cable?
Dude.
You remember, this is before, like, backlit screens.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has, like, the backlit screens now. We used to have to, like, tilt it. We used to play, you know, tilt the phone in the sun so we could see what we were doing.
Yeah.
Tilt the phone, tilt the Game Boy. Get on top
of the jungle gym, you know, that, like, dome thing.
Right,
and
you
climb up to
the
top,
and then
that's the best spot.
I mean...
But then you also had the Game Gear that was kind of ahead of its time. That kind of launched forward
whole...
lit back screen.
That was
full color.
That was a half hour of awesomeness without it being plugged in.
Yeah.
That was always a fun conversation to have, man, because it was always just like, Mom, what?
I need 6 AA's again.
It's been 2 hours. What the hell happened?
Game Gear.
He throws you this like long orange thing. What is this? It's an extension cord.
I think that's how I got introduced to one. But anyway.
Oh, man. Classic.
Hook it up. Go into the wall and don't say anything for the next 5 hours. God.
2 hours later. Go outside.
I have to pay attention to you as a parent? God. This is the worst. But yeah, man, like, I don't know. I think what's really cool too about this, because obviously a couple weeks ago, I feel like it was a couple weeks ago, they just announced the Switch games that are going to have that weird kind of controller Pokeball thing. And they just announced at E3, and I know this is going to sell units, that apparently when you buy that, you unlock Mew.
You unlock a chance at Mew, if I understand it correctly. It's not a guarantee.
It's a chance. It's a chance at Mew.
So I'm down for that.
So they're still keeping Mew rare.
Mm-hmm. As rare as they can.
As rare as they can. As rare as they were in the trading card game, and that dates me quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about that, because I still have what they called a fake Mew that apparently now is worth more than the actual card.
And you lost it.
No, I still know where it's at.
Oh, right on.
I'm not telling anybody.
That's fair.
That's going with me to my grave.
Shh. Hey, you listening. Don't tell anybody.
It's like, you're
ancient Apache secret. Yeah.
Long ago, there was word of you.
Like, I can, you're kind of like Ron Swanson with the whole, like, I have gold and it's buried somewhere.
Where is it? I don't remember.
I have gold and it's buried somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. This E3, I mean, there was some really jaw dropping stuff. I remember like the Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer and seeing the Pirates of the Caribbean level.
Yes.
And going, oh my God.
They actually released an official list. I don't have access to it at this specific moment. I remember Toy Story stood out, Frozen, Monsters, Inc.
Frozen, their female audience is locked.
Oh, I know.
Locked.
As soon as they put
Elsa in there, you're like, all right, we're good.
My only fear is getting to that level and finding out it's going to be like the Little Mermaid from the second one, where it's nothing but singing and dancing. That's my only fear.
I didn't know. Either I saw the Little Mermaid 2, I forgot I saw it.
Sean, it was bad. It was so bad.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 2 took what they did in Atlantis in the first one and just threw it in the trash can.
Oh.
I get, as a gamer, nobody likes underwater levels. I especially hated it in World of Warcraft when they had that whole fiasco during Cataclysm. Please don't take us back there, Blizzard, if you are ever listening to this. I beg you.
Star Fox 64 had a good underwater level.
Yes, that was probably one of the better ones, but that was a constant moving thing. That's not a, you have free roam to go wherever you want, however you want.
Or GTA 5. That's one. That one's boring.
I haven't gotten into the fifth one yet.
Yeah, well, let's see. Actually, I think my favorite underwater levels have probably got to be in Mario games or in Mega Man games.
I got to go with Mario.
Yeah. Like, Super Mario Sunshine actually had some really good underwater levels. So did Odyssey, too. Once you pick up a Switch, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Hey, I'm working my way there.
I don't know what it is, but the music in the underwater levels is so awesome. Like,
that's about the only real advantage you get.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what else from E3 that we did we like?
Well, that's right. Elder Scrolls 6 is happening.
Yeah, and there's one on the phone that looks really cool.
There's one on the phone?
Yeah, they released one. I forgot what the name was, but it's they have an Elder Scrolls game for your phone. And it's not Skyrim. Bethesda made that joke with that the Key and Peele thing.
Yeah.
with Skyrim for Alexa, and it's actually exists.
Yeah.
There's got to be a prototype of just about everything at this point. If you could think of the idea for the game, there's a prototype somewhere.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, what is it? Because he's got an Alexa over at his apartment, and there's a bunch of really cool stuff that you can do with it.
I mean, there's one on this, but you know, I haven't enabled it yet, and it's not connected.
At this point, I probably wouldn't mess with it.
Yeah, it'll probably be just a waste of time.
Nuking North Korea. It's like no.
We just made friends.
Push the red button.
Sorry, I can't process that command. It's like of all the times to not process a command.
Oh, thanks for putting that back in my head. Fires and missiles, but I was very tired. Fine, take a nap. Then fires the missiles.
Oh God, no!
There we go.
England's just like about that time, eh, chaps? Righto.
Chip chip cheerio.
Chip chip cheerio.
Russia's just like motherland.
Yeah, that right there.
Yeah. Oh, dude, we have so much. I think Randy Man Savage covers like half of my soundboard.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that. The man oozed charisma when I know. He spoke. It was gold.
Yeah. Like this one, he just says, "I'm your friend," and
I'm your friend. Right there, that was all charisma.
You can't teach that.
You know what's so funny too about that? I know this is a sidebar, but like it's so funny. You go online and you try and find video of Macho Man, like, and just Randy just talking normally, and he's still talking like this, and he's like got that really deep voice, which is funny because you look at somebody like just out of
Mr. Sarcasm as your example.
Yeah.
Of that.
Oh wow, Mr. Sarcasm. Yeah, I don't care.
He shifts it from like second to fifth.
God, I miss Randy Savage.
I don't know about fifth, but he definitely hit fourth.
Fourth, you know, like I think he skipped the gear and like.
He definitely skipped a gear in there. Like if he touched it, he didn't let off the clutch and went right to the next one.
Yep. What's so weird is like you look at somebody like I don't know, like off the top of my head, Gilbert Gottfried, who like.
He always puts on that voice.
This is Skyrim. But then, But then, like, you hear him talk normally, and he's just talking like this. And I'm like, no.
It's not much different than what he would do for his promos for The Ring, being in The Ring. And actually looking into one of his documentaries they did, it was weird learning how he came up with his persona. Because when you look at the pictures of the way he was built,
mm-hmm.
you didn't see any of that. In him at all.
Oh, yeah.
He was kind of on the scrawny side. He's very average built, like an average baseball player built, because that's what he did. He played baseball, and he was pretty damn good at it, if I say so.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't remember right offhand what led into him getting into wrestling, but then he started watching some of these other guys from other places.
Well, it was his dad, right?
It might have been his dad. I don't fully remember, because I think his dad wanted him to play baseball.
Yeah.
And then
Lanny Poffa was in there, too. But then
right. There was something weird that happened, but he ended up watching some guy from Hawaii and liked the way he did his promos and just kind of picked a few things out of it, tested the water a little bit, and next thing you know, gone.
Mm-hmm. Huh. And it's so weird, too, because, like, I've actually seen photos of him, like, when he was, like, young, and, like, yeah, that was all just going to the gym, dude. That was all.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's
gym and proper nutrition.
Supersets. Like, most definitely.
Like somebody like Hulk Hogan, like, he built out, but, like, he was already kind of that shape.
Yeah, he was.
Macho Man had to work for that.
Yeah, Hogan had a very natural barrel-chested build, kind of like I got, kind of like you got too, Brian.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's some things we're not going to really get into on what all went on with that that led into where they are now or where they were or whatever.
But yeah, where they were in the prime. Yeah.
It's so weird with the wrestling business because I came in and they're all, no, you got to have this loud, brash attitude. I'm just like, according to Jake the Snake Roberts, the most dangerous man speaks softly and carries a big stick. So I got a wrench. I think that counts as a big stick. What do you got? And it stuck. I mean, yeah, I got times where I am a little brash, but it's situational.
Yeah.
But
it depends on the situation, yeah.
Yeah.
Like situational confrontations.
Right. Now we're kind of swaying off topic here. What was the last thing we just talked about?
We were talking about the video games.
Yes, we were.
Oh, that's right. It was Elder Scrolls 6.
Yes, Elder Scrolls 6. Well, they showed us, I think, nothing, really.
Yeah, I don't even think we have an official title. But
they showed us the logo, and everybody wet themselves.
Do they have an official title for it, or is it just Elder Scrolls 6?
They'll release a title for it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's Elder Scrolls 6 just at the moment, but...
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. That's not as good as the one from the other week you had about how I like my tea the same shade as Hogan's tan from the late 90s.
It's not too dark.
Sorry, brother, you're getting thrown under the bus tonight.
Sorry, brother.
Oh, man. Okay, that's getting saved right there. We'll put that up on the show.
Oh, I want to watch Suburban Commando now.
Oh, man.
Oh God!
Yeah,
that was Oscar worthy.
Yeah, one last side thing, and then we'll go back into E3 about that movie. I honestly thought because Undertaker never talked back in the day, that's how he actually talked. Where he's like, "You're a dead man, Ramsey." It's like, oh God, what the fuck? And of course, Mark Calloway doesn't talk like that.
No.
But God, that was funny. I was like, what?
So Spider-Man looks freaking awesome.
Oh my God.
Spider-Man looks it reminds me of the Arkham games a little bit. But more flippy, kicky stuff and some punch action stuff like you see from like in the old God of War games.
Obviously, because you know Spider-Man's definitely a little more acrobatic.
Yeah,
pun intended there on the word bat. But when you look at Arkham or just Batman in general against
Spider-Man. He's a stocky guy, so he just kind of like, you know, he brawls.
Right.
Doesn't flip it too much.
Whereas
Spider-Man's like this lanky guy, he just keeps
moving.
Right,
he's got to rely on his speed and being able to outwit his opponent, whoever it might happen to be.
But the way that they incorporated that, like like the gameplay footage I seen was... I mean, if it's consistent with that and gets better, that's amazing with me.
My worry is they were able to capture that for E3, and it might not translate very well to the final product.
Controlling, you think?
Yeah, it might be more of a control issue. Like, they might be able to get all the flippy whatever in there, but...
Like, they don't want to make it too easy, but they... and it's really difficult to make a good game. Like...
It really is.
Yeah, because you don't want to make it too easy. You don't want to make it like it is in, like, I think, was it God of War 2? Where you just kind of press a button and he does all the stuff.
God of War 1 was kind of like a push through.
Yeah, one was a push through where you just felt like, am I watching a movie with just pressing A and X sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of jumping between the magic and regular.
But
attack.
You also don't want anything like Dark Souls.
Demon Souls was worse than Dark Souls. Demon Souls where you literally, okay, I'm 10 seconds into the game, first enemy just killed me. What happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's...
And that was the weak guy.
Right.
You haven't
that
even
was
got
the
boss.
Enemy.
The boss is way down the road.
Well, I mean, you can throw a stone and hit the boss, but it's definitely...
It seems like it's way down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just the fact that they threw you into the game and it's like, okay, I've got no gear. Nothing in here should be really able to... Oh, wait, I got a broken sword. Oh, I should be able to kill this thing that's chained to the wall. It shouldn't be able to... Oh, wait, it kicked me and I died.
Yeah. You want to find a balance between those, like, you know, polar opposites. So I'm hopefully that translates well, but we'll see. We'll see. You don't know until the game comes out, really.
I'm hoping that they do kind of... This is going to seem weird. I think they should do, like, a double standard on it. Like, if there is an easy play, have it to where if you push the button, it does the move and positions you automatically.
Yeah.
Then have, like, an intermediate where you have a little bit of control over some of the moves, but, like, the harder moves you still have no control over. Just hit the button and let it go. Then, like, an expert mode where you have complete control where everything goes every time you move.
Yeah.
That would be a better translation than just, here's what you get.
Yeah.
And I think we're kind of in that society of gaming now.
I hope it is, like, because the way Arkham had, Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, especially, had that perfect balance when it came to, like, melee fights.
Right.
And like, keep on harking back to that game, because it's a very well-played game. Like, you it feels immersive. You get the stories interesting enough. Every once in a while, there's, get this thing,
that's with any game.
That's with anything. It was any game, but like in terms of like the actual melee concept, I hope that pans out well.
Well, what I think is interesting about this game too is that obviously it's being made by Sony. And did anybody else notice that it looks like this is going to be a Sinister Six game? And what was the movie that they were trying to put out when Andrew Garfield was Spider-Man still? It feels like they're kind of taking what they were going to take with that script for the Andrew Garfield movie and just were like, let's just make a game out of it.
I can't even remember what they were trying to do because I went complete, I don't care, and just put the blinds over. And they were just like, whatever.
They were trying to set up a Sinister Six movie, like a standalone Sinister Six movie. And Andrew Garfield would have been Spider-Man for that. But obviously, after Spider-Man 2 or Amazing Spider-Man 2, that kind of, you know,
yeah, that got kind of went out the window really quick.
So it feels to me like they were like, well, you know, let's not, you know, throw away the baby with the, you know, bathwater and try and do something else with it. So,
I mean, I guess they realized that there was a lot of loss that stood in their future and just said, you know what, it's not even worth it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also, you know,
but like, you got issues all across the gaming world where it's like, I just played a really great game. I wonder what it would have looked like if it would have been a movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, like, I know Uncharted would be an interesting movie. I don't know if it would be a good movie, but they'd make a really interesting movie out of that, probably.
With that alone, it dates back to Final Fantasy VII, with all the argument about, oh, it was supposed to be on this, supposed to be on that. I don't care where it's supposed to start. When you break down that whole story, that could have easily been a trilogy. Easily.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, honestly, it's been a while since I played that game, but...
Actually, did they talk any about the... I don't know if it's supposed to be a remake or remaster.
They didn't talk about it. They talked... Wow. Square Enix literally just talked about Kingdom Hearts, and I think they announced a new game, and that was it. There was nothing about the remake. There was nothing about Final Fantasy 16 or 14 online or anything.
Well, considering the level of hatred that's going on towards them right now over the fact that it's been how long? 10-plus years since we've had a Kingdom Hearts game?
Yeah.
It's been a very long time.
And we're just sitting here on this cliffhanger and...
Yeah.
It is annoying.
And I love how they're just like...
Almost feels like Half-Life, like I'm a Half-Life fan or something.
Oh, my God. When they finally decide... The only reason they won't do that right now is because of what happened to Duke Nukem. I understand their fear in that, but I think it's at a point where we need to try.
I honestly, the game that they should have had a 3, and this would have went bonkers, and everyone would have adopted this as Left 4 Dead. Left 4 Dead 3 should have came out, and that would have been... Awesome. A Left 4 Dead VR. I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of games that could go to VR, and you won't be able to keep them on shelves.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Beat Saber right now. Insane.
What game would I want to play in VR?
It is taken over like half of YouTube right now.
Yeah.
Is lightsabers and DDR.
Honestly,
of course, DDR.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would love to have like a VR game like Overwatch. I would love to have Overwatch, but like
I think
the idea is your two Vive controllers are like lightsabers, but if you connect them together, they vibrate, so it feels like you have and it's totally immersive because it's on the Vive.
Right.
And you feel like you're a Jedi when you're like pushing up.
I haven't played around with VR yet, so
apparently this is just my friend explaining this to me that it's after you play for like 10 minutes, you take off the headset and you're drenched in sweat just because you get so into it. Apparently he's like, yeah, dude.
Sounds like my kind of workout.
I've been losing weight off of that. I was like,
Okay, so now VR is doing what the Wii did when it first launched. Everybody was losing weight.
10 times like, successful. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And no Wii Fit on this one.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Going into, Brian, I don't know if you want to pull up the story of Domino's.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
I just want to talk about that. This is a really good place to plug that.
Okay.
Domino's.
Oh my god. All right, we had our workout conversation. Now
okay, so
exactly.
Now
gotta fuel the workout.
So as soon as you're done your workout, I got you eat your pizza.
So there's a few things that this story is being called by. CNBC.com is saying Domino's is taking on America's crumbling infrastructure one pothole at a time. Washington Post says, why I let Domino's fill my city's potholes. And then PopularMechanics.com wrote, Domino's is fixing potholes because they're ruining pizza.
Wait.
Domino's is ruining pizza?
And they're not. They're totally not.
I mean, I get that that's a draw, but...
No, that was Domino's pre-2004, or whenever they remodel...
Their pizza's
the
pretty good
remodel.
Now, man.
Okay,
That was Domino's, old-school Domino's. Yeah. Old-school Domino's was ruining pizza.
Yes.
The new Domino's is sick as shit. It's awesome. It's really
anyway,
good.
So they're all right. Repairing roads.
So, let's see here. I can't talk today. Shit. I've been
Do
talking
to come over there and read it.
I got it.
Yeah, you can slide it around and let him read it. Let me be a news guy.
Yeah, sure. Okay, go ahead.
All right. We'll give a crack at the news here.
All right.
Let's see where we leave news. Off at on this.
All right. So just
now for the news.
Okay. And now we go to Bo with the news.
Domino's is no longer just selling pizza. Okay, we already read that. Monday, pizza chain said it was partnering with towns and cities in the U.S. to fix potholes with the goal of providing smoother rides for Domino's delivery drivers. I knew there was a catch. I knew there had to be
a catch.
The
delivery drivers are like, I'm tired of these potholes. Let's just fix them ourselves.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I delivered pizza for Domino's down outside of Chesapeake, Virginia. Oh. And, I mean, they make pretty good money. I'm not going to lie. Delivery people, you order $15 worth. Well, no, we'll go a little bit beyond that. You order your $28.99 deal, comes out to like $32 and some change. People just throw you $40 and say, have a nice night.
Awesome.
As long as you keep your $20 worth of change at the end of the night, everything else stays in your pocket.
That's awesome. They don't try to cut in on
that. No, you pay back your pizza. For whatever they say, we go, oh, well, you did this much, you owe me $130 in cash. So you hand over the $130 in cash, whatever's left over, you count out your $20 in change, put it in your little safe or pocket, whatever you
piggy
want,
bank.
Put it in piggy bank, make sure you can get to it for your next shift, and the rest goes right in your wallet.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, I don't blame them on this a little bit, but let's see here. Hundreds have recently repaved... Okay, that phrase makes no sense. Anyway... Hundreds of recently repaved
my
potholes
first article.
In four towns in Texas, Delaware, Georgia, California feature the company's marketing logo, Oh Yes We Did.
And oh Yes We Did. Oh no, they didn't. Oh Yes We Did.
And the company isn't stopping there. Huh.
So apparently...
What did you just open? No, we're not going to Sunglass Hut. Get out of that.
That's evil Exotica. We don't go there.
They just go on to keep talking about how they care and value their customers and feel that it would be a lot better if their delivery drivers didn't have to deal with all these road hazards. But, yeah, you're eliminating the potholes, but now what are you going to do about the people that can't drive?
Right.
I mean, I'll just leave you with three letters, NDF. I'll let you figure out what they stand for. I'll tell you what the N and D stand for. The F is up to you, and it's non-driving.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I just... Man, the amount of good they can do, like I was thinking, especially like in Detroit, because holy crap, Motor City has some horrible roads.
Easy target.
You think Motor City? You think Motor City? They must have the best roads. Nope.
No, they don't even have a testing facility up there. Their closest testing facility, if they wanted to use it, is. Used by NASCAR every year, and it's the Michigan International Speedway. And even then, the little rinky-dink road course they got still ain't exactly a good test. So now you got to either go to Canada and use—I don't even think what theirs is called now. Anyway, you got to outsource
the Osori Speedway.
Yeah, something like that. But you got to outsource now. Go down to Daytona and use their Speedway. Use Sebring. You go out to California.
Tim Horton's thing.
The apologetic poutine circuit. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You just named our episode, buddy.
There we go.
Sorry, would you like some cheese curds?
But, yeah, then you also got to outsource to the Mazda Laguna Seca Speedway and the Sonoma Valley road course. And
yeah.
I mean, I imagine they probably used the Indianapolis Speedway itself for top speed tests, Daytona, Talladega.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many racetracks all over, not even just in the U.S., worldwide.
I think, what is it? There's actually one in North Carolina where my grandma lives. I can't remember what the fuck the name of it.
Okay, there's a lot of tracks in North Carolina.
Yeah.
You got Charlotte Motor Speedway that used to be Lowe's. You got the old Rockingham Raceway.
Rockingham. It was Rockingham.
Yeah, they don't run there anymore, unfortunately. I don't understand that whole, why they cut that out. But you know what? They've moved forward, and I'm not going to complain too much on that.
My dad actually had a Challenger back in the 70s that he used to race around on that track with when like they were doing races.
Yeah, well, that was also back when stock car was stock car.
Yeah.
You went to the dealership, you bought it on the showroom floor, and you took it straight to the track. You can't see me here, but there's some air quotes involved with the original stock car racing because
original.
It might have come with whatever 400 some odd horsepower. Small block or big block, but that's not necessarily what people pulled up with under the hood, and they got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it was from the manufacturer and didn't exceed a certain size, NASCAR didn't care.
No.
It just had to be street legal.
Honestly, NASCAR is one of those things where it is entertaining to watch the last 5 minutes. Oh, my God.
Well, see, now I don't know how much you're up to date on that currently, because I think it was last year or the year before they started this whole stage racing. It's no longer one long race like it used to be. Exciting to me back in the day was that they could go to Daytona, Talladega, not have a caution and not have the pack separate. That was excitement for me.
Yeah.
Now, most of these races are divided into three segments ever since they got bought out by Monster Energy.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, I don't misconstrue that. It sounded like a bad yeah, but it's actually worked in their favor. I was against it at first. I was like, no, you're destroying.
It sounds awful.
Destroying what racing is.
At face value, it sounds awful.
But then you start watching these races and it's like, okay, I remember this used to take, five and a half hours, and you could tell who was going to win halfway through the race. Now, you come to the end of that first segment, wait a minute. You don't ever finish in the top 10, but you won the segment. How did this happen? Now there's some reason to be excited a third of the way through the race, two-thirds of the way through the race. Because they're awarding points for the top 10 drivers at the end of these segments. So now it's not just, they're
just people yelling at Jeff Gordon.
Well, he retired.
I know he retired, but back in the day,
it was somebody wreck Gordon. unless you were a Gordon fan, then it was go Gordon.
Yeah,
I was just kind of on the fence, but
yeah, that's definitely a rarity to be in because usually everyone who watches NASCAR is either a really it's like oil and water.
Yeah, but we've grown a lot in that sport now too.
That's
because weird. With everything that happened back around when Dale Sr. died,
yeah. That was the catalyst, really.
That kind of opened up. Okay, what do these drivers really go through on a regular basis? Because they couldn't say that the wreck killed him, but at the same time, they couldn't say that it didn't.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like, well, was he dead on impact? We don't know. According to the spotter, he was silent. Once he took the white flag, he didn't say anything. White flag came out, and his radio went silent. Told him his lap time, told him hold his line, keep doing what he's doing, and he never gave back a 10-4, Roger, nothing. Nothing came back. Tried to communicate with him again, going down the backstretch, got nothing. Hey, how's the car feeling?
Nothing. Huh.
So there's
makes you wonder.
There's a theory that he might have been dead at the line. He may have just, whatever energy was left in his body was driving. And that was it. It was on autopilot.
So he was dead even before the wreck.
It's just a theory. Can't be proven.
Oh my
can't
God.
Be disproven. I don't want to think about it that way. I just want to look at it as the man went out doing the one thing that he loved as much as his family.
Wow. That's awesome. I mean, it's horrible that he died.
Right.
But it's awesome that he died doing what he loved.
Exactly.
But like, that is interesting. That you could like, that's almost like the Zapruder film. Like you could donate like hundreds of hours into did he die before the race? Like, if there's a documentary, I would watch the crap out of that.
You see, the argument everybody has, and I remember watching videos of this wreck, his real big wreck he had at Talladega. He rolled that car probably more times than I can count, got T-boned, driver's side, upside down. In theory, he should have been dead right there. By all laws of physics, he was dead. There was no way he walked away from that. Emergency crews got to him, got him out of the car. He tried to walk away from the emergency personnel.
Damn.
I don't know if he was made out of some kind of steel that we just didn't know existed yet. Or
adamantium.
Something. I mean, nerves of steel, but you go and watch the 3 movie, and he did live with demons, as everybody does.
Oh, yeah.
From all those wrecks.
Shit.
God, I can't imagine, like he's dead at the wheel, but like there's just enough to keep him going and go, like,
oh,
that blows my freaking mind.
One thing we do have to talk about, and since we're already in the subject of death anyway, we lost two major people I know, Kate Spade, which was a suicide, and this is the big one, Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah,
dude was a rock star. We lost him to the suicide. Dude, yeah. he was amazing. Like he's probably the reason why I travel and cook today. Like that's pretty much everybody. But like,
I mean, same here.
Yeah.
He's
his shows. You watch him and you feel like you're in the other place. You know.
I mean, he kind of inspired me back in the day to actually become a chef. And he also inspired me. That's part of the reason why I did Wondering
Kitchen Geek. Kitchen Confidential.
That's kind of the reason why I did Wondering Geek, Sean.
Yeah.
Was because I was like, here's this dude who's going around kicking ass and just fucking trying different shit. And I don't know. I really dug it. And I was
He took that fourth wall, because everybody loves the good fourth wall break. He proved to you that it didn't really exist unless you wanted it to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And he turned. Kind of like the foodie documentary, like travels, like on its head. It wasn't just about
mainstream.
It wasn't just about food,
right?
It was about the people too.
It was about the culture,
yeah. Which is something I absolutely loved, because I don't know about y'all, but like when I was growing up, and I was going around all kinds of different places, like even just in the States or whatever, I always hated doing the touristy shit. I always hated it. Unless it was something like, obviously,
you're talking like getting on the whole, you know, let's go on this bus, take pictures here,
yeah,
go to this one specific souvenir shop or whatever.
Yeah, I was like, no,
I don't blame you.
I'm like, no,
because I have an example.
Yeah, like what I love to do. Like I can give you an example, then you give yours.
Okay.
We were in New York last year because we got invited to do a podcast. We got invited to do a podcast festival.
There you go.
After because it was in Queens, and then me and Amanda and I believe it was Corey, after a while, we got done with all our stuff, and it was like still the middle of the day on a Saturday. We decided we were going to hop the subway and go to downtown New York and just wander around. And we wound up walking for about 8 hours in downtown New York and just seeing everything. And like, you know,
see, this is where somebody would expect somebody to say, I'm sorry, but I've also been up to New York, and I don't care what anybody says. You can see it a million times in movies and think, oh, that's got to be the worst city. No.
It's
awesome. You get up there, and it is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, yeah.
It's the same thing out in L.A., too.
Yeah, L.A. is awesome.
Everybody's
man.
Got these pictures in their head of, oh, L.A.'s constant bumper-to-bumper. No, rush hour out there, 75 mile an hour, 15 inches off the bumper in front of you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And I learned about that because I was taking the shuttle from LAX to Pasadena.
I'm sorry. I will apologize on that one because I've made that trip in a car.
That sucks. but yeah, like just being in New York, and like we went to like all these different awesome ramen places, and you know, we just kind of went to like all these little underground kind of places, and like, hell, we went to a jazz club at midnight in New York City on a Saturday night.
Still up there.
And I mean, you know, you could argue that that's a touristy thing to do, but honestly, like...
It's really not, because that's a level of culture that you're not going to know is there unless you went out to find it.
Exactly. And, you know, it just stuff like that, and trying all the different foods that just New York had to offer. I'm like, you know, he left an imprint on me way back when, and it's kind of like he kind of gave the blueprint for this is what an adventure should be. Go do it.
There is this, I went on a cruise, and this is like a very touristy thing, you know, like they don't really do much, but we were going to go to this island called Princess K, where I had some excursions planned with like stingrays, and I was really excited for that. But they're like, well, we can't stop in here. That place is overbooked with this other cruise ship. So we're going to go to Nassau. I was like, okay. So everyone goes.
Bahamas.
Everyone goes to the main drag where you have all your shops. You got all the people out there selling, all the people out there, the local commies selling stuff to get by. And we just went, me and my friends just went off the beaten path. We went down through the town, like until we stopped seeing like backpacks. And
start, yeah, got to be real specific on that.
Yeah, we stopped seeing you know backpacks and flip flops, and we started seeing more like unique like shops that weren't really updated. They weren't very colorful,
like the old mom and pop shops.
Yeah, it was very mom and pop shops. Like they're like shacks essentially.
Yeah. It's somebody's garage attached to their house. They turn it.
And
into
we
a
go
shop
over. We buy. I buy like this. This cigar tray for a friend I know like cigars, and I'm like, hey, do you know where we can find like a beach where no one goes, that just locals go to? She goes, yeah, go out here, you know, take a left at this place and you'll find it. So we go down there. There's no one there, and it's like a clean beach. There's this local guy like on, see, he just has a table, and he's got like a machete and a bunch of coconuts, and he's just sitting there, you know, chopping up coconuts, yeah, and then just stabbing them, and like he's got a cash box, and that's it. That's all he's operating with.
That's all he
so
needed.
I just like, I just, you know, he was like, oh, it's gonna be like, you know, $3. I just gave him a 10. I'll just take one. And dude, it was probably like the best coconut water I've ever had. I would have never did that if I didn't go off the beaten path.
Right.
And that's what Anthony Bourdain was all about. And that because he said that, and because that really stuck with me, that's why I'll always do that whenever I go on a trip. Mm-hmm. You bear in mind safety, but still, you know.
Oh yeah.
Within reason.
I'm sure that there's some people who might have listened to that just now and were just like, oh God, please, you know. If you're traveling anywhere in like the Bahamas or Cayman Islands and you don't see a backpack like that, or you don't see tourists, like maybe, you know, make sure that you have numbers on you. But like,
well, yeah,
at the
we
same
have,
time,
we, yeah, we, there was like four of us. We're fine.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Always preach safety on that.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's the way you got to do it.
Hands on the cell phone.
But you know what? You're sitting here talking about beaten paths and whatnot. I seem to recall we were going to talk about the Forza Horizon 4.
Good segue. Or as Colin would call it, a segue.
A Sieg,
which is incorrect. So, yeah, Forza Horizon. I have not seen the trailer to this. When I catch E3, I just type in E3 on YouTube and see what pops up first. And
yeah, I don't expect this to be a main find. I personally haven't seen anything on it either. I did see the name pop up in a couple different locations, so I do know it is coming. I'll just throw this out there. I am a mechanic by trade when I'm not wrestling, so cars kind of speak to me a little bit, and I have watched...
So you probably like... do you like Grand Tour?
I'm getting into a lot of this right now, because I remember growing up with the Gran Turismo series, and then I remember the birth of Forza, and it's just kind of like... Okay,
oh, I was talking about a TV show, but...
I never really got into that.
You should get into it.
I'm going to look into it. A lot of the TV shows were harder for me to get into.
I believe that we actually have copies, by the way, if you want. We have copies of the UK cut of the original Top Gear with
Jeremy Clarkson, nice. Yeah. Richard Hammond.
We'll definitely have to get together on that.
Because those three left BBC and did their own thing on Amazon.
Right.
So,
but yeah, yeah, really anyway, Just watching these games develop with everything from just the general physics, because I remember the first Gran Turismo was like two different games on two different discs, but it was
Turismo really, out of all the games that you really see for like a particular console, particular, you know, like either like for, we're talking about like PS1, PS2, right. PS3, it always felt like it was a step ahead of the console it was on.
It really is. Like, I feel...
It always felt like, was this out for, like, when you're looking back, was this out for the 2? No, that was for the 1. Was this out for the 3? No, that was actually for the 2. And you're like, huh.
But it's still a little weird, too, because you go back to the PS1, you had the first game, and then they got the second game. The second game felt like it was far ahead of the first one. It's like, wait a minute, you did that in just a few years' time? What's the next one going to be like? But then here's the PS2. Okay, now really, what's it going to be like?
Yeah.
And I think it was actually one of the first games when the 2 launched, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then it's kind of become their staple now. New console, new Gran Turismo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're in the middle on the PS3 end of it. It felt like they took a step back.
Yeah.
A little bit. Like, the visuals were amazing. Like, if you set it up right, you'd swear you were in the car.
Yeah, but, and I've heard a lot of things, especially on tracks too, based off real life.
Because that was where they put NASCAR into the games for the first time, like that, and they flopped big time. There was no realism compared to the NASCAR races at all. Like, it's okay, I'm at Daytona, I'm on the gas, and I'm passing everybody by myself. That's not how this works. Even for that time, I think they had what they called the two car tandem, where just two cars could hook up and be so much faster than everybody else. Couldn't do it. They didn't program it into the game. It was just a big missed opportunity. But then NASCAR finally got their rights back to make their own games and everything, but that's a completely different tale. And then Forza got to actually take a bite into NASCAR on Forza 7?
Yeah.
Yeah. It had its own DLC, and it did great. So I don't know if this is a matter of who's dropping the most amount of money or the right amount of money, but just the competition's really starting to separate itself now.
It really is. And, yeah, especially some of those tracks, especially in the indie tracks, I noticed they did improve some things.
Right.
Turismo did.
And now you got...
Forza went above and beyond in terms of, like, the Nürburgring.
Oh, yeah. That was their pure dedication, was they wanted the Nürburgring to be as real as it could be. And I do not fault them for that.
I would love
to go over
there. And the people who actually were... who drivers... And there's a lot of YouTube videos of actual drivers, you know, playing... this game is like, is this anything like the Nürburgring? And some of them were like, this is really accurate.
This is about as accurate as you can get.
Like, it turns in a certain way, you know, this curve is, you know, it does throw everything a certain way. Right. Yeah, it's good.
Because I knew there for a while Gran Turismo was bringing in real professional drivers from all different types of racing. You know, hey, play this game for a couple hours, tell us what you think. Focus on these three tracks, tell us what you think. And they were getting all different kinds of feedback, and now it's just kind of at the point where I don't think Company A is getting the right information, but Company B is on certain tracks, and then vice versa.
Yeah.
As you keep moving through the list. Because you got some games that the gameplay on the track hasn't changed since day one, when the first game launched.
Yeah.
But then you got other tracks where it's just like, wow, okay, this wasn't this hard before. But now you've also got the Project Cars competition out there, nipping at him a little bit from the PC.
The Top Gear racetrack was fun.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
That was fun.
Bowling.
Going around the hammerhead.
The bowling pins, that killed me. The bowling pins killed me.
Good stuff. So we could talk about NASCAR all day, but what were you saying, Brad?
I was just going to show him. Have you actually seen in Japan the initial D arcade cabinets?
Yes, I've seen that. I've actually played one of the initial D games in an arcade.
Yeah,
that was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Like, these are set up so that you actually have, you know, like, you actually sit in a car and play the game.
Right.
And if there's any country that does that best, it's freaking Japan, because, like, dear God, you can
Wait a minute. When did we get put on hold?
No, this is the music, like,
to wrap it up.
Yeah, the wrap up.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Okay.
At least do that. So, Brian, do we have any more stories you want to contribute to the show?
Nothing off the top of my head, no. Really just kind of, you know, it was really all about E3 this week.
It was all about E3. If you have anything listening, if you have anything that you want to contribute towards, like, what did you like best out of E3? What games didn't we mention? Please comment wherever you can, and we'll get to those. Brian, where can we find you on the World Wide Web?
You can find me on Twitter at bmassey1987. You can find me on Facebook.com, manning the Batcast 66 page. And I'm sure that we're going to be at a couple of events sometime this year. We haven't really announced any conventions this year so far that we're going to be at, because I know that it's the middle of the year, and usually
I would hold off on announcements or anything time
sensitive.
Yeah,
we don't really have anything going on at the moment, but I'm sure that there's got to be a couple skewers in the fire, so
yeah, couple skewers in the flame. Do you have anything to plug, or
I'll just plug real quick. If you want to look me up on Facebook, just look up Bo Ross. It's spelled B-O-R-O-S-S. So look me up on there.
Got Ross Matt. Like boss.
It's Boss Bo Ross.
Boss Bo Ross. Yes,
sir. We got matches, training matches. I got to word it that way because that's actually what they are. They're training matches every Thursday up in Hagerstown. I will have information up on my Facebook page about that if you would like to reserve tickets.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, for Bo the Boss Man Ross. I don't know if you want to, I called that.
I might have to run with that. I don't know yet.
And Brian Massey and myself, Sean Holmes, you have been listening to Boldly Going Nowhere. Outro?
Outro.
Outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com. Wow, that sounded great.